Welcome to Season 5 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CalfRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and calf roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great. You can expect training tips from top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers. I'm Hannah Mann, your host, and this is The Breakdown.
Hey y'all, welcome back to The Breakdown. My name is Callie Montague, your temporary host until the spot at the mic has been permanently filled. On this episode, I get to talk with Suzanne Foskey, whose son, Elijah, has captured the hearts of rodeo and roping fans all across the country. Elijah is the 12-year-old cowboy who is roping legally blind and chases calves who wear a homemade lighted collar aboard his paint pony, Catalina. The video of him catching his first calf at a junior high rodeo down in southeast Texas went viral, but there's so much more behind the flag dropping on that first clean run. This family story is so special, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. Let's get into it. Alrighty, so let's start off with, for those that haven't seen the video, or have seen the video, but know nothing else about y'all's story, about anything, tell me about Elijah.
So Elijah came to us when he was almost 6 years old. Mm-hmm. He came from, he was born in China. Okay. And has a birth defect that where one of his eyes was completely missing. And the other eye has something called coloboma, mm-hmm. where it's basically holes in his vision. So when he looks at someone, there's blacked out areas. Okay. And his brain just sort of connects the pieces and says, okay, that's a person. But even with having one eye missing and having coloboma in the eye that is actually a natural eye, mm-hmm. he also has very, very low vision of 250 over 20.
Wow.
So when he came to us at almost 6 years old, he came from a disrupted adoption where a family had adopted him and did not feel like they could continue to parent him. Right. And so then he came to stay with our family.
Gotcha. And how old is he now, did you say? Sorry?
He's 12.
12. Perfect. Perfect.
And then is he in school or anything, or do y'all homeschool?
We homeschool.
Gotcha. Perfect.
So what's his personality like? Is he a rambunctious kid? Is he quiet? Keeps to himself? Kind of tell me about his personality.
So when he first came to us, he would throw a lot of fits. A lot of that had to do with the fact that he has autism, mm-hmm. also. And he is on the spectrum, but on the high functioning end.
Gotcha.
But he doesn't really adapt well to change or anything like that. And so he was kind of the kiddo that got into a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. He had a hard time making friends. And because of his low vision, he isn't allowed to do a lot of things because he physically can't do them.
Right.
So he would watch his brothers and sisters from the stands, although he couldn't really watch his brothers and sisters. He would sit in the stands with me, and he would get into a lot of trouble while he was in the stands because, you know, he was just bored and had nothing to do, and he couldn't really see what was going on in the arena.
Right.
So we let him start riding, and he's always kind of ridden since he first came into our family, but right. more like trail rides and things that we just did as a family. But we let him start doing the little local play days and do barrel racing and poles and things like that when he was younger. And last summer he came to us, and actually he didn't come to us. I overheard him telling a bunch of kids that he wasn't going to go in there for barrels because barrels was a girls' event and he wasn't going to compete in barrels anymore.
Right.
And so I talked to him and told him how that was really his only option. And so he did compete that day, but he started kind of digging his heels in and didn't really want to compete in barrels and poles and things like that. Mm-hmm. He said that he wanted to rope. And at home he had been working with Caleb, and Caleb had been showing him how to rope the dummy and things like that. And he could do it in a very controlled situation with somebody helping him.
Right.
But we didn't really think that that would ever transfer over to riding, to riding a horse and also, you know, roping from the horse.
Right.
But he started just practicing a little bit at home, And then he wanted to enter, and he said he didn't even care if he caught. He just wanted to get to do the boy events instead of the girl events. Mm-hmm. And some of the organizations that we participate in only have boy events.
Right.
For the boys. And so he ended up entering in breakaway, and he didn't have any success at all. And even in goats, we would just kind of send him out there, and he couldn't see it until he could get close enough to the goat to hop off and tie it. But breakaway was so much harder because the calf is actually running.
Right.
And so after a few times of him entering and not really having any success at all, we started talking to him about what he could see. And a friend of ours specifically asked him, you know, which calf color is easier for you to see? And, you know, what things have to happen for you to be able to see the calf the best?
Right.
And he explained that he couldn't really see the calves when they were on the dark dirt, especially if they were a brown calf or a black calf.
Okay.
He said he really liked the black and white calves, like the Holstein calves, because he could see a little bit of the contrast to see what he was roping.
Right.
But as you know, you can't really pick your calf when you're right. calf roping.
Right. That's kind of hard.
So, yes. So you have to take what you get. And that's when we started talking about, so what can we do if he says that he can see the black and white, what if we put a white collar, a white lighted collar on the black calves and see if that helps him out? And so we did that, and we also added a bell, but the bell seemed to make the calf run even faster just to get away from the noise.
Right.
So we took the bell off, and so now he's just roping with a lighted collar.
So let's shift gears for just a second. So I know you've mentioned a couple times, you texted it to me, and then we've already kind of talked about it. You have a big adopted family. How did that come about, if you don't mind me asking? Have y'all always adopted? Do you have any kiddos of your own? Do you mind me asking that? Just tell me the story on the rest of your family.
So we have been adopting our oldest daughter, the first child that we adopted is she's born in 95, so she will be, she is 30.
Cool.
And she was adopted from India, and we really thought we were going to have this big family. We were going to have two biological children and adopt two children. Mm-hmm. That was our plan, and we thought that was a big family at the time. And then we ended up traveling to adopt Sarah from India, and when we were there, there was just such poverty, and I was able to stay at her orphanage and have lunch with the kids and things like that. And when we were done, the kids were crawling under the table, just picking up every little grain of rice that they could get.
Wow.
And you saw the poverty, and we came home and we just felt like, okay, we can adopt one more. And so we just kept going back for one more, or then we adopted a sibling, you know, sibling groups and,
right.
and things like that. And then we ended up with children from 7 different countries and 10 different languages.
Wow.
In our home. And I started praying that when we adopted our daughter, Miriam, it was a very long adoption. And I had actually chose where we were adopting from because it was so quick, and I was a very impatient person. And so God really taught me a lesson in that, because it ended up taking about 6 times longer than what we were expecting.
Wow.
And so I started praying that God would just bring them and leave them at our doorstep. And he did. He started leaving kids at our doorstep.
Wow.
And it was, but they weren't babies, you know, they weren't young children. And a lot of them were children that were not succeeding in the family that they were in, and had a lot of trauma and hurt from the situations that they came into before they were that they came from before they were adopted.
Right.
And so at one point my husband was like, can you please just stop praying that, because
there's so many
children dropped off at our door.
Oh, how funny.
So I did. And we still had children that came to our family after that, but that's kind of how our family grew. It's gotcha. Just, going and visiting some of these places and seeing how awful the situations were in so many cases. And we really have a heart for special needs kids, for kids mm-hmm. with disabilities. And so we have kids with all kinds of disabilities. We have a daughter who barrel races still, and she's an adult, but her legs are paralyzed because she has polio.
Wow.
And so she rides with a seatbelt. It's very similar to Amberly mm-hmm. Snyder, but it's different too, because Joy never had the use of her legs.
Right, right.
So she had to kind of learn, and she taught her own horse and everything how to run barrels just on voice command.
Oh, cool.
But you know, it was a little bit different because she never knew what it was like to do it any in a different way.
Right. Not like she had an incident that made yes. that happen. Gotcha.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Gotcha.
So, but a lot of our kids have some sort of disability.
Gotcha.
My mom was a special ed teacher for most of my life. So I've been around quite a few of those kiddos, and it's pretty special watching them be successful in whatever being successful means in their life, but it's very special to get to watch
that. That's right. And a lot of the kids, a lot of our children, they don't have an intellectual disability at all, they just have a physical disability that makes things harder for them. Mm-hmm. We have another daughter that she's a senior this year in Region 7, and she does breakaway and all the roping events too.
Awesome.
But she's also missing an eye, but in her other eye, her good eye that she can actually see with, she has perfect vision.
Nice.
So for her, it's not really that big of an adjustment. You know, she just has a little bit of a difference in depth perception.
Gotcha.
Very cool. So with all the kiddos that y'all have had, have all of them been in the rodeo world, or is it just kind of y'all let them decide if they want to or not, or is it something you encourage? Have they all kind of been involved in that?
So all of our kids have been involved with horses.
Okay.
And most of them did the local play days and things like that, but not at the same level as the group that we have now.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Cool. So over the years, we've adopted 28 children.
Wow.
And we have three biological children. We call those our homemade kids.
Homemade kids. That's hilarious.
Yes. And there are two. We have two older sons that are in their 30s. And then we have a daughter that competes at 7 that she just turned 16 a couple days ago.
Gotcha.
Do you have a background in rodeo? I mean, is that something you and your husband have done your whole lives? Like, where did the interest come from for y'all?
I did play days and, you know, at a local level when I was a kid, but my father died when I was 16 years old and, you know, everything had to kind of stop at that point.
Right.
And so I continued to have horses. And when my husband and I got married, I had a couple of horses then. And, my husband was more of a cattleman. And so he kind of adapted to having horses and all that comes with that and all the expenses that come with that. And our kids did do local play days and things like that. And then I guess it was not quite 2 years ago, a friend of ours came to us and said, you should enter your kids in high school rodeo. And I really didn't think that was an option for them. I didn't feel like they were at that level to compete. Mm-hmm. But we did it anyway, and we kind of looked at it as this will be a great time of growth for them, and if anything, it'll kind of pull them up and help them to work towards something. And to our surprise, we had an amazing first year, And two of our kids got rookie of the year, rookie boy and rookie girl. And then we had our son got all around rookie, I mean, all around cowboy. And he won 4 saddles and Sophia won 2 saddles. And it was just crazy how well they did. And so this is our second year competing in them.
Awesome. So they've been rodeoing for a little while, but just not at the high school level, high school, junior high stuff.
Yes, that's correct.
Gotcha.
So one last question just about all your kiddos, and we'll get back to Elijah's viral moment here shortly. But in your own words, what do you think they take away by having kiddos that maybe weren't introduced to it early on? What do you think is the biggest benefit of including them in the rodeo world?
Well, I think that with my children, all of my children come from some type of trauma background.
Okay.
Whether that was abuse or neglect or severe poverty or lack of medical care that they didn't receive, things like that. Mm-hmm. And they all come with a trauma history. And I believe that there's something really amazing about the outside of a horse for the inside of a human. And I feel like it has really helped them to grow and to heal and to be able to overcome barriers in so many ways, not just physically, but even emotionally.
Gotcha. Perfect. Well, it does that for people that don't have a trauma background. So it's amazing what it will do for people that have been through things like that.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Taking a quick break to jump in here and tell you guys a little bit about roping.com. With a roping.com membership, you can get unlimited access to roping.com's comprehensive tie-down, breakaway, and team roping video library and learn from world champions Caleb Schmidt and Shad Mayfield, as well as top trainers Logan Harkey and Justin Moss. Plus, you can binge hundreds of hours of live and archived ropings, including the Cinch Timed Event Championship and the Patriot Events, the legendary Spicer Grip and Mobetta ropings, and more.
Alrighty, let's talk about the video that went crazy, which is how I found out about that. I'm from Texas. I actually rodeoed in Region 6 most of my life and then moved to 10. Yeah, so I'm very familiar where y'all are at. And, like, I used to junior rodeo in Eden, in Edna. So I very much am aware, but I just can't believe I've never heard of y'all before I saw the video go viral. So how cool was it when he caught that first calf at the rodeo? I mean, I know the stance went crazy, but as his mom, how special was that when he first caught that calf?
You know, honestly, I didn't think he was going to do it that day. You know, we were trying to get him to throw like right outside of the chute because that gives him the best shot.
Right.
And he kind of has an idea of where the calf is going to be. But that day he had tracked the calf all the way to the other end.
Right.
And what we've seen is that he does not usually have any success when that happens because he just loses the calf when it gets too far out into that big of a open space and everything. And everybody was kind of screaming at him, telling him which way to turn and everything. And then when he threw that shot and it went on, everybody just screamed and hollered. And it was just, it was amazing to be there and to hear it. And I had hoped it would happen at some point, but I had kind of gotten discouraged. And I think there was a lot of pressure because everybody wanted to see him succeed at it. And that's a great feeling to have that kind of support.
Right.
But you also don't want to disappoint them in any way. And so it was, you know,
yeah.
I felt like I was starting to kind of give up that it wasn't going to happen.
Right.
But it did that day.
Yeah.
Very cool. What was his reaction? Was he excited? What was his initial reaction?
Oh, he was so happy and smiling. And then when it was all over with, I went down to the from the stands, and he came and gave me a high five as he left the arena. And sorry, I'm getting kind of emotional.
That's okay. That's all right. It's very cool.
It's just so neat to see him succeed at something, because it has been such a struggle for him.
Right.
And that has been really cool too, because I think this little taste of success has really truly changed him too. He's been so well behaved lately, and he's offering to help with things, and it really has transformed his life, just feeling successful at something.
Right.
For sure. Well, so then I was right before this, I went back and I found the second video where he like stuck it on one quickly. I mean, do you think that he knows how, do you think he knows how cool what he is doing is, or do you think he's just excited to be getting included? I mean, do you think he feels how special it is?
I don't think he realizes what's happening. I don't think he understands how viral this has went.
Right.
I think he's just a little boy just chasing his dreams and doesn't even realize what all's going on.
Right.
He does practice, like every night he practices, and
perfect.
You know, he'll rope the dummy, and you know, it's given him this drive to want to do better and to want to succeed.
Yeah.
And the timing could not have been any more perfect, because I think it was the weekend before that had happened. He had actually, or it was a few weeks before that had happened, he had actually caught two calves at a small play day in South Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt really good about things. And yeah. Then he went through kind of a slump where he didn't catch anything for a while. And the weekend before he actually caught that first one at junior high, he came to me, and he left the arena crying, which had never happened before.
Right.
And you could just see the frustration. And I asked him, you know, what was going on. And he said, and this is not how he talks, but this is what he said that day. Mm-hmm. He said, "Mom, I just suck." He said, I'm never going to be able to do this.
Poor thing.
And big old tears coming out of his eyes. I told him, you know, do not talk that way. You know, you need to think differently and just keep trying. And at that point it seemed like he was slapping him in the back of the head with the rope every single time.
Right.
You know, he couldn't get it around. And looking back, I think we figured that out this weekend. What was going on then was he was pulling his slack when he mm-hmm. thought he had them.
Right.
But it wasn't, he was pulling his slack too soon.
Right.
And now his new thing is that he's not pulling a slack. And so this weekend at Regions, his calf went right through his loop.
Yeah.
And I looked back at the pictures, and I can tell he's not pulling a slack.
Right.
So I think that that's what's going on. And he's just kind of having to figure it out as we go. And I think he learned that pulling his slack, he wasn't catching. He was, you know, pulling it too soon.
Right.
And now his new tactic has been, I'm not going to pull my slack.
Yeah.
And now we're having some trouble with that too. So the next time we rope, we're going to actually have Caleb tell him when to pull his slack.
Yeah.
Because he can't really tell if it's on or not.
Right, right.
He can kind of see him, but can't tell when the rope goes around the neck.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Well, that's anybody's bad habit. I've roped calves my entire life, and that's very typical breakaway stuff he's going through. It's just cool that he can work through it. And again, winning, I think, gives anybody motivation to work through the slumps, you know? So that's, he's not going through anything the rest of us aren't going through. So.
Yes. And, in a couple of weeks, he's going to, Equine Champions for Christ.
Cool.
To rope with, Strand Smith and, Trevor Hale and Tough Cooper, not Tough Cooper, Cliff Cooper, mm-hmm. and Stetson Vest. And his brother has went to that a few times now, and Eli wasn't able to go. But this is his first time, and I really feel like they're going to be able to help him to work through some of the issues too.
Yeah.
So that he can, you know, go to the next level and everything.
For sure. Camps like that are so special.
Oh, yeah, they are. Absolutely.
Perfect. Well, I meant to ask you this earlier when we were kind of talking about the collar, but is the collar something y'all developed, or was that kind of already developed and y'all just saw it and found out it would work for him? Or did y'all have a hand in developing that?
So Sterling Merriman is a friend of ours, and he was one of the guys that originally had the conversations with Eli about what he could see and what he couldn't see.
Gotcha.
And he had the idea of the calf, of the collar around the neck, and he works cattle for a living,
mm-hmm.
and he had a dog collar that had a light on it, for when you're working cattle,
right?
During the night and everything, you could actually tell where the dogs were,
right?
And so that's what we started out, was using that collar. And we tried that, and we saw that that would work, but a lot of times it would fall to, it was just like one light on top,
mm-hmm.
and then a lot of times it would fall to under the neck.
Right.
And so we ended up just I ordered something online that was just, it's honestly just a Christmas light dog collar.
Nice.
And it has the lights all the way around, and he says it's much easier for him to see.
How cool.
And when I say easier, that's probably not the right way.
Right.
To say
relatively.
It, for him,
right.
Yes. For him, it's easier.
Perfect.
And if it turns, it's still the same.
Right. Yeah. It's the lights are around it no matter what.
Yes.
Gotcha. So tell me about the paint pony. What's the story behind his pony?
Okay, so Catalina, she was born on our place, and she was trained by some of his older siblings, and his brother used her last year for calf roping, but then he graduated. And so Eli was actually riding a different horse, but her mother is who he was riding.
Oh, cool.
And her name was Ruby, and we had some friends that needed a horse for their quadruplet granddaughters.
Wow.
And they had bought a couple of other horses from us, and so they came back to buy another horse from us, and we decided to sell Ruby with Eli's permission. And he felt like he could handle stepping up to the next horse, and so that's how he ended up on Catalina.
Cool. How old is she?
She is 17.
Perfect. So was there, with the lighted collar then, was there anything, like, how did she react to that? I mean, is it bright enough that she kind of notices it and shies away, or did shy away, or was it all pretty a smooth process?
She's pretty dead broke.
Yeah,
she doesn't really shy away from anything, and she just takes care of him.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what was the, I know we talked about kind of when he learned to ride and when he started, but was there any struggle, or did he just take to, like, learning to swing a rope on a horse is hard for anybody. So I can only imagine for a kid, it's hard. So what, was there any struggle there? Or did he just kind of take to it like a fish to water?
He really took to it fairly easily because he had been wanting to do it for so long and had been, you know, swinging a rope on the ground for several years already. But us not thinking that he could possibly do it on a horse or actually rope something from the back of a horse. But he took to it really quickly, honestly. There was some things like, you know, it's just a lot. I think roping is a lot for anyone.
For sure.
And you know, having to get up in your seat and stand up in your stirrups and swing a rope and rein your horse. And it's just a lot.
For sure.
And so it did take a little bit for him to do that part. He didn't want to, it wasn't that he didn't want to, he struggled with getting up in his seat.
Yep.
That's hard. That takes muscles that normal people don't even, like, people that don't rope don't understand, but that takes muscles that
it does.
Like people that just, you know, exercise, even people that go to the gym, it doesn't matter. That the particular muscles in your body that it takes to throw yourself to the front of a moving object, it's like trying to stand up in a moving car. I mean, it's the same.
Yes.
It's the physics are the same. So I struggle with it, and I'm an adult that it's hard for anybody.
Yes. Caleb has honestly been the driving force behind Eli and has just, whatever the issue is, he's come up with a way to help him work through it. And I remember one day they were in the arena and Eli was, you know, sitting down and he was loping and Caleb was trying to get him to get up in his seat and to ride like standing up.
Right.
And to be forward in his seat so that when he, you know, was roping, that he could be forward. And so he was trying to teach him how to lope and everything. And I had to laugh because he went to the tank dam and got a bunch of rocks and put them in Eli's pockets. So they sat down the rocks and poke him.
Oh, yeah. That's old school. We've all had that done to us at one point or another.
No, Caleb is my son.
Okay. Sorry.
He's just a year older than Eli.
Gotcha.
And he's an amazing little roper and very successful in everything that he does. But he has always just wanted Eli to get to be like the other kids.
Right. That's
and
cool.
And so he has been super helpful and instrumental in helping Eli find the success.
Awesome.
That's special when they get to do it together.
Yes, it is.
So, as the mom, do you get nervous when he ropes, or really when any of your kids compete? Do you get super nervous, or are you pretty laid back and just whatever happens, happens?
I feel like when Joy barrel races, I should go sit in the truck because it is really hard for me to watch her do that, strapped in.
Right.
It's just kind of a scary thing for me. And we have a son who has severe hemophilia A, and that means he's a free bleeder, and his blood doesn't clot. And he is a roper. He's the one that that rode Catalina before Eli did.
Cool.
And he has to wear a helmet hat when he competes because he's just at such high risk of a brain bleed.
Right.
And so I don't mind watching him rope, but when things go wrong, it scares me to death, honestly.
Of course.
And he does have to, infuse like with an IV in his arm and stuff for his blood to clot so that he can compete.
Mm-hmm.
And it really scares me. But honestly, with Eli, I haven't been scared at all because I think Catalina just really takes care of him and puts him in the position he needs to be in. She's never hot in the box. She's just really well behaved, and she can be a little much with somebody else, but with Eli, it's like she knows she has to take care of him, and so she's always very well behaved.
That's awesome. That's one of the special things about horses is they almost always know. Even the good ones know, they just might forget, but they always know who's riding them.
Yes.
That's right. And I feel like when Jonathan backs her into the box, she can be a little much. You know, she starts moving around and she may even rear up a couple times. Not big rears, but a smaller version of it, and just gets a little antsy. But when Eli is in the box, she's just perfect.
That's awesome.
Well, you guys, that is it for this episode. It was so cool getting to talk to the Wonder Woman of a mom that Suzanne is and getting to hear her and her family's amazing story. This is Cal signing off. We'll catch you on the next episode of The Breakdown.